Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Touching Base Podcast. We had some technical difficulties on the first stream, so I'm restarting this. It kind of sucks because we went over a lot, but we fixed it. We fixed the issue. Stupid audio, man. Stupid audio. Now you guys can see me. Now you guys can hear me. Now we can talk ball. Now you guys can actually leave comments and we can talk this out. Teoscar Hernandez signs three-year, $66 million contract with the LA Dodgers. As predicted by almost every single person that I know and talk to. Let's be honest, the Red Sox were not in on this. No offense to Red Sox fans, I'm sorry. They were never part of this. They just weren't in on it. It was just too much money he was asking for. But at the same time, it was pennies on the dollar for LA. So my question is, what took so long? What took so long to where he's literally the last one signed for this outfield? Why? Why? It just, they got the deal done. That's all that matters. And obviously, I guess my assumption is that LA completely knew that Teoscar Hernandez wanted to play for the Dodgers. They just won a World Series. They're probably going to win another three World Series in a row. I'm not a fan of this team. Do not think that I'm being home team biased. Look at that. That's not the Dodgers, okay? This team is insane. They extend Tommy Edman, who only played like a quarter of a season. He put up six home runs, six stolen bases, was batting like a 237 or something fresh off an injury. Insanely good in the postseason. If he can sustain what he was doing, he's going to be a number two star of any other team. And he's probably going to be like the sixth best player on this team. That's how good this team is. Conforto last year with his stats compared to the rest of the team, he's probably going to be the worst player on the team aside from maybe Gavin Lux. And I'm talking starters. I'm not talking about the guys on the bench, but even the guys on the bench, but Miguel Rojas, he batted like 287. In fact, we had it pulled up. I'm going to make this bigger for you guys. There we go. A little bit bigger. Miguel Rojas sitting on the bench, batted 283 and slugged 430 with 337 plate appearances. Now, I understand he only had six home runs, but he's 10 years in at age 35, hitting like the elite superstars of any other team. Okay. So what took so long? What took so long to where he is your final guy that you added to this team? I shouldn't even say that because I know for a fact they're probably not done. They're probably going to do something else before spring training to add. And there's been even talks about Gavin Lux getting moved to other teams. I mean, there's a chance that the Mariners are interested in him because they desperately need a second baseman. I'll be dead honest with you. You guys see that sign up there? I think the Mariners are going to bring back the same damn crew that they had last year, but just offer them less money because nobody else wants them because they saw how terrible they were. But I also think those players don't want to come back because of how terrible they were in that stadium, which makes me think that Teoscar's remarks after leaving and having a bad season in Seattle to be in LA, having great camaraderie and batting 272 and slugging 501, that he's right. Seattle's just a terrible place to hit, and nobody's going to sign with that team because he's given them a reason. The batter's eye sucks. It just felt weird. He didn't feel comfortable at the plate. I think a lot of players think that. And especially if you look at the players that are available, or I should say the players that are on that team that have never played for other teams that are homegrown in Seattle, they don't really know the advantages and disadvantages of having half of your games at home and being used to a park where it's a lot easier to hit. Teo, I mean, he started out in Houston, really got his name when he was with the Blue Jays, came to Seattle and just hit a wall. And a lot of players are doing that. Mitch Garver this last year. So I almost blame Teoscar for ruining my favorite team chances of signing anybody. At the same time, I blame my own front office and my own ownership. That's a different story. But Teo found his groove in LA. You bat 272 and you slug 500. Literally better than everybody else on this team except for Shohei Ohtani, who is a future Hall of Famer, who went 50-50 this last season to create a whole new division of player as far as speed and power. He was going to come back. There's no way the Dodgers miss out on re-signing him. Why did it take so long? They knew he was going to stick around. They knew he wanted to stick with this team. So he just waited they waited and basically filled in the gaps. They were turned their focus to extending Edmund. And then they went out and got Michael Conforto. Weirdest. I don't understand the Michael Conforto ad. I shouldn't say I don't understand, but I want to take a look at something real quick. Cause I did not look this up. Because Andy Pages, am I wrong here? Let me take a look here. I thought he would be the starting outfielder because he did so good. No thanks. No thanks, guys. 248 average. He is a 712. So he's slightly above average. He's a 712 OPS. WRC plus average, I guess a 1.3 win for what he did when I went to the Diamondbacks games and hit all those home runs whenever, because I always ended up going to a Diamondbacks game where they were playing the Dodgers. And so they got murked, which sucked, but he's going to hang out in AAA. Really? I don't know if Fangraphs is accurate on this. Typically they are, but I would much rather have Andy Pages. And I think this was the truth. Opening day, I think James Outman's going to start in AAA because he was not doing well. Miguel Rojas, Chris Taylor, Andy Pages. That makes sense for a bench. Or they'd better move Andy Pages and get somebody else. But who do you need? You don't need rotation arms. You don't need bullpen arms. This is the most insane team. Oh. I think I was mentioning this in this last stream that I had to restart, and I apologize for that, guys, as far as the technical difficulties of this. If you were to take the 98 to 2001 New York Yankees dynasty, right? Everybody sees them as the best. There's plenty of places you can just look them up on X, and it'll come up with videos and stuff like that shows like the batters coming up, their batting averages, their slugging percentages. Like it was Hideki Matsui, it was Alex Rodriguez, it was Derek Jeter, it was Jason Giambi, it was Bernie Williams. I almost said Bernie Sanders. Sorry. God, who else was in there? Who's their second base? Who was before Robbie Cano? Oh my God, why am I forgetting this? Jorge Posada was behind the plate. Your elite pitching, Mike Mussina. Who's their second base? This is it's hurting my brain. Doesn't matter. How is this not? Is this better? Jack, what's up? It's good to see you. Sorry, I'm just coming back to the chat here. See, I need to change the wall in the background. I think they need to really fix the black in center field. Since it is angled, they could just make it flat like any other stadium in MLB. I don't know why they don't just change it. On top of that, they are directly facing the sun to where it mirrors the sun in. I understand they're black panels, but because of that, they fade. And now you can see these little squares of like this faded black because they don't fix them every year. Don't get me started on the batter's eye. It's really frustrating. Probably his defense is not that good. he's not terrible. He's not terrible. He really isn't. Unless I'm completely wrong. I'll call myself out. Let's look this up. Andy Pyles, to me, I've never seen him perform poorly. Yeah, in fact, he's according to Savant, defense is the only thing he's good at. So, Jack, I am sorry, but you're wrong there. Yeah, let me see if I can get this. Let me show you this real quick. Just Savant wise. This last season, he has a one run value as far as his fielding value. Fielding down here, his range is 75th percentile. Yeah, his arm's not that good, but his arm strength, I should say his arm value. So maybe his accuracy is not good, but his arm strength, 95th percentile. This dude could throw people out. And a 248 batting average, slugging 407. Like I said, the 712, he's 0.001 OPS above league average. 13 home runs. Two of them I saw in Arizona. And I believe it was that one. That's the one I know that I watched. Pies is good. All right. Are you guys not able to see this? Or is it still loading? Slower to balls. That makes sense. I don't know if you guys were able to see the Savant. I don't know what's up with StreamYard. And I apologize. It is bad. Like laggy. Hey guys, you guys don't see this right now, because I'm seeing it on my screen. I don't know. Maybe every single person is streaming right now. That's what I don't understand. Okay, now you can't. Yeah, so it was just loading. So this is what I was talking about. Like, His defensive value is actually better than his offensive value. And his offensive value was fairly good. Like he put the bat on the ball. The 97th percentile for the sweet spot percentage. Bat speed, 69th percentile, like that. But that's positive. You know, his K rate being 24% is not great, but it's not like third. It's not above 30. I feel like 30 is where you start to look at people and you start questioning them. And for his age, I mean, he's 24. He has longevity, a 75 percentile run speed compared to the rest of the league. Yeah, he's a pole ball hitter, but maybe this means opening up an opportunity to trade him to Boston. But who would they want? Because I don't understand who could the Dodgers want right now? Seriously. You guys tell me. Tell me in the chat. If you're on X, I politely request you to go over to YouTube because I don't think I can receive comments from X. And if I might be wrong. So if you're watching from X, leave a comment and see if it pops up on my thing. StreamYard is being weird. It's not working for me right now. But what do we do here? You have a seven-man rotation pretty much with the Dodgers. You have a seven-man rotation. Let me make this a little bigger. There we go. Seven-man rotation. But Chad, I see only six here according to FanGraphs. FanGraphs is easy to check this out. They have to fit six in there because it makes zero sense who you're going to kick out. And yet you have a long reliever, Michael Grove, who is a starting pitcher. That's your seventh. Technically, it could be an eighth. If Gavin Stone wasn't injured, if River Ryan wasn't injured, if Sheehan wasn't injured, they are all in there. They are very much deserving of a spot. If we go down here, who else? Who did they push to AAA by projection? Bobby Miller, Landon Knack, Nick Frasso, holy crap, guys. Landon Knack threw a 3.65 ERA. On a lot of teams, that's an ace. Ben Kasparius. I might be saying it wrong. He did an interview He's coming up. This guy's gonna be a big name. Keep him in mind. He did an interview, I think, like Baseball is Dead. Really cool dude. 25 years old, 2.16 ERA. I know it's only 8 innings pitched, but he threw 12 strikeouts and walked 4 in that time. If he can lower that walk rate, he's going to be dominant. Ben, I would love to talk with you. That's 4 guys in AAA right now that are more than able to be part of this rotation. Maybe not this one, but any other rotation. Who could they want? They're not going to add Sasaki. What's the point? What's the point? Jackson Ferris. Yeah, that's another good point. There's another guy coming up. Like, it's just insane, this team. Like, it's not it's not fair. That's literally what I want to say. And I think a lot of people could agree. Yeah, I think even if Dodger fans were just being honest with themselves, it's not fair. If they were like, yeah, it's not fair. It's awesome for us. Like, if you're a Dodgers fan, that's what you should be thinking. Should be, no, it is fair. Our team just spends money. They spend money they don't have. They spend money that they're going to have 10 years from now. It's called deferments. And that's not a cop-out. Any team can do it. Any team can do it. But they're a team that has a lot more reassurance and stability and foundation because they have their own network. They've built this corporation around this Dodgers team. Nothing's outsourced. Everything's in-house. It's the largest stadium in baseball. Nobody has a bigger stadium than Dodger Stadium. It's the biggest. And I guess they have really good accountants. I guess that's the best way to put it. Yeah, there's a lot of trade bait. But here's the thing. They have a lot that they could send out, but who are they going to bring in? Because I just wouldn't mess with the rotation. I wouldn't mess with the bullpen. Like, are you going to sign Kirby Yates? Like, what are we doing? Are we trading these guys for prospects? For number one, number two, number three prospects and other organizations that have an ETA of 2028, 2029, 2030? Are we trading for comp round picks? Like, are we just keeping this thing going? Are we planning 10 years down the road when Otani's gone? Is that the goal? Is it, hey, we'll give you Andy Páez, we'll give you River Ryan, we'll give you... Miguel Rojas and Gavin Lux, and you give us your number one, two, and three, and your comp round A pick. Is that what it is? Because it's not going to hurt them. It's not going to even touch them. Really? You have a guy who's not going to play next year because of Tommy John, but when he comes back, he'll be good. But you have 3 years of Blake Snell. There's 3 or 6 years. I forgot. It's been a while. You have 10 years of Yamamoto. You have 12 years of Otani. Or no, is it 12 years? Okay, I'm going to get this too confused. Either way, it's near a decade for Otani and Yamamoto. Glasnow is kind of a... I made a video about this when Blake Snell signed. He's not really an addition. He's an insurance piece to where you have similar ability. You have similar... performance levels, you have a similar ceiling, and you have a guaranteed floor that's higher than anybody else in the league. So that if Tyler Glasnow goes down with an injury, because he is a glass house, you didn't lose anything. Hence a 6-man rotation, as is technically a 7, because you have a long reliever in there with Michael Grove, who I think can be switched back and forth, Landon Knack. Honestly, any of these guys. Who's their international shortstop lined up for the Giants? I don't know who that is. I haven't paid too much attention to the Giants. Yeah, I know that they traded away Michael Bush to kind of clear room for these guys. But, I mean, who are you trying to – a second baseman? You're going to make room? So, Betts? Because Betts is in the way? Come on. You're not moving Met. You're not moving Betts. You just extended Edmund. Betts is going to be – I guarantee you he's going to be the permanent shortstop. I want to look something up. Because I want to know his – obviously playing in the outfield is a lot easier than playing on the infield. And if we take a look at, like, his savant, let's take a look at this. Let's take a look at Mookie Betts' savant because this is it's kind of interesting if we look at this. I want this to load, though. I'm not going to talk until this thing loads. StreamYard, we're going to have a chat. No? What's the... There we go. Why did it take that long? Why? This is wild. Wild to me. Pay for this stuff. Scouts are huge on him. I should look him up. Okay. So, Mookie Betts. 2023. Negative two value. Fielding value. This is him at shortstop, right? Negative three on range. He's developing. He's going there. But if we go back, 2023, okay, negative three. This is when he was in the outfield. I've always had an understanding that he, okay, there it is. Okay, so he's been doing the infield thing for 2 years. Okay, I just wanted to clarify that because, yeah, fielding value, 79th percentile, five, range of four, arm of two, 89.2. Yeah, he's all in the red when he's in the outfield. 21. Ooh, he took a dip. Still positive, though. Still positive. 20? Okay, four. Everything's back up again. He's had a couple dips, but as far as I know, yeah. When he's in the outfield, you're talking, jeez, you're talking the best of the best. So, are you saying make clear room to bring up, you're clearing room in the outfield to put him back out there? Is that the goal? Is that what we're looking for? Because that's the only thing that I can logically come up with as far as making room for players. And if you're talking about the shortstop position, it's moving Mookie back to the outfield where he's best. Even though he could play shortstop, fine. I mean, it's okay. He's a beast in the outfield. Tommy Edmund, very good in the outfield as well. Teoscar, pretty average. I don't want to speak out of my ass on that one, so I can pull that out. Be clear. I want to make sure I'm right on this. Defensively, he's never been bad. Oh, yeah, he was terrible. He was terrible last year. But he's not going to DH, I can tell you that. How did he do in... Okay, yeah. So in Seattle, he was fine. Wow, he was terrible defensively. Like negative 11? Maybe that's the reason why they were thinking twice on him. But there's nobody that nobody's bat is going to be as good as his. That was available. Because Tyler O'Neill's defense wasn't that great. Santander, but his bat was not nearly as good. 22. So, okay, he was really good in Seattle defensively. That's interesting. So that's my memory of him is 2023. 66th percentile. His range, pretty mediocre average. He's a plus two arm value and then his arm strength. So he was good defensively in Seattle, but wow, he was bad in Dodger Stadium. Huh. Huh. This is interesting. His K percentage is a 10th percentile, but 28? Hold on. Was it in? Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Sorry, I got my numbers mixed up. I was getting lost in my own head, guys. So yeah, 31% in Seattle. He's always been pretty high K rate, hasn't he? Huh. Ooh, really bad then. But he got better, slightly, last year. But he performed better, so he still struck out a lot. Conforto, what's up, buddy? Also, pretty bad defensively. How was he in? Pretty bad there too. All right, so this is funny because this brings up my thought with here I can show you guys this. So, sorry, I thought I was sharing it. Luis Hernandez is the one. Best of his class in 2026. Gotcha. The idea is to move Betts in the infield for regular season to save energy for outfield in the playoffs. But what's the point of that? Because then you have someone playing on the infield that hasn't played there all season. And infield's significantly harder to play than outfield. It's significantly harder to teach. Reading the ball, angles, approach, reaction versus outfield where it's just seeing angles of fly balls. And it's just a lot easier to play outfield than it is infield. Your reaction time needs to be significantly less in the outfield versus infield. So I would not see a reason to do that because then you're taking away someone's practice and muscle memory and ability to play that position all season just for the playoffs to rattle off when you need to be your best, you know? So I don't know if I agree with that. But Conforto's not good either defensively. So my funny thought that came to my head when I was bringing this up is specifically the Blue Jays. They made that deal recently with the Guardians. They traded for Andreas Giménez, who is not good offensively. He's really bad, and he's been really bad. I think 2021-ish there. That's when his bat was huge. That's when he earned a lot of his trophies, and he became a really, really solid player. All-star caliber, like franchise face. Like, he's the Carlos Correa of the Guardians. That was the idea. Now he's very much defense only. Like, that's all he is. This last season, he was not a good bat. And the Blue Jays are like, defense, 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 defense. And as you guys can tell, they're not winning shit in 2025. I'm just telling you right now, they're not going to be a good team. And they're not going to sign anybody until Vladdy gets picked up, until he gets extended. And if he doesn't get extended, they're only going to sign guys for 1 year. Because if Vladdy's gone, who do you have left? Bo Bichette's already even mentioned that he's not really excited to play for the Blue Jays. He doesn't want to be there. It doesn't look good, and defense can only do you so much when you're not producing any offense, and you can't rely on one guy to do that. Who are you going to put on the infield then, Jack? The theory you heard is late inning lead. Switch Outman and Pajes to the outfield for better defense. Conforto's not good, so. But it just does not seem. It doesn't, I don't know, it just doesn't make sense to me. Honestly, with this team, how often are they going to be up by only one or two? Unless the entire team's having an off day. How often are they going to be only be up by one or two runs? Very few. Most of the time, it's either going to be down by one or they're going to be up by 12. I'm exaggerating, but the offense is just insane. I wish I could quickly pull up team war, but I can't, because if we were to compare this, it's just wild. Good for LA. You know, like, LA fans, good for you. You got an ownership that wants to win. It's win now. They're all about it. This signing took way too long. It was too obvious that he was going to go to LA because that's where he wanted to play. But at the same time, I'm just going to assume they decided to spend the money that they needed to spend with the idea that they were going to have left or right field, whichever one you want to choose, ready for Teoscar, because they know he wasn't going to sign anywhere else. The only team I could think of that would possibly add him was going to be the Red Sox, but I don't understand what they're doing with their money. I think their biggest issue right now is Yoshida. I don't think he fits. I don't think Yoshida fits. And I think that is the reason why they were trying to push Yoshida in the deal for Luis Castillo and Casas. And they were going to fork up some money too, to make it work, just to get Yoshida off the roster, because they're paying him, but yet he just doesn't fit, because it'd be better theoretically to put Devers at DH and then go and trade for Arenado. You know what I mean? Like, make another move there, because defensively Devers is he's dog shit. Sorry, but he's just not good defensively. So make him a DH. On top of that, he's a lefty and they want more right-handed bats. So that even narrows the scope even more for who they want. And it could be a third baseman. It could be a left fielder. Teoscar kind of fit that ballot, and the money, 66, 3 years. Is that out of budget? I don't know. Would they offer that to Teo? I don't know. I really don't know. And honestly, I think they would need to offer more than that, because there's that sex appeal of LA. He's already in LA. He's moved there. He had an awesome time. They won the World Series. He's already on a winning team. And it's a juggernaut team that just added Blake Snell, that extended Tommy Edman, who's now going to play a full season. There's a lot of reasons why he was going to stay in LA. And the Red Sox were going to have to fork up a lot more to bring him all the way across the country to play in the AL with them in a stadium he is not familiar with. I guess I shouldn't say that, because he played a few years in Toronto, and they play each other. It's interdivision. But you still have a lot against you. You have a lot riding against you if you are if you're Boston. So, and does Boston need it? They're trying to bring up Anthony. They're trying to bring up Mayer. They are another team with blocks there. You know, Trevor Story, it's kind of a block there. They're paying a lot of money. Yeah, he hurt his shoulder like 3 games into the season. It was done. Now he's coming back. Is he going to be able to perform? I don't know. He's starting to get up there in age. Are they trying to move him? I know Yoshida is blocking Devers to go to DH, and it's a waste to have him because he's so terrible defensively. And he's a left-handed batter as well. So it doesn't meet the Red Sox want for that green monster. So I can totally see the Dodgers making a deal here. Is Paez a righty? I think he's a righty, right? Yeah, bats right, throws right. 24 years old. Bat 248. Slug 407. 13 home runs. Pole hitter. He only hit one. Okay, two home runs center field. One of them was left center. The rest were all hardcore pole. Every single one. Take a look. Maybe this will load. This is ridiculous. This loading thing. Why is this taking so long? Let me exit some stuff. Maybe, just maybe, it'll help. Okay, you guys can see it now. Yeah, if they bring in Santander or Bregman seems like a perfect fit. But Yoshida's blocking him. I'm telling you. Glaber to the Tigers. I was in the middle of making a video about that. That's just going to be, I'm not going live on that. I'm just focusing on Teo for this one. So if you guys are here and you're not subscribed to the channel, subscribe to the channel because it doesn't cost you a dime and we could talk ball. And it's a small enough channel to where we can actually have a legit conversation. You guys could be in the chats. You guys be in the comments. I typically respond. You can be assholes to me. I'm perfectly fine with that. I'm willing to have a conversation, go back and forth with you. I'm also not going to try to be disrespectful, but also if you're disrespectful in the comments, I'm probably going to say something. It is what it is. But hey, that's what makes it fun. That's what we're talking ball. That's the point. What about Andy Paez going to Boston? Huh? Why not? Right-handed bat. Pole hitter. And he hits him deep. Imagine how many of these are home runs and how many of these are doubles. I'm just saying. He's not a huge power hitter, but left field is calling his name. It really is. Let's take a look at something. This will be fun. I'm going to pull up Illustrator. Andy Paez, what is up? This is just an idea. Running a little experiment. So we're going to see a spray chart in 3D, whenever this loads. And we are going to give a bird's eye view of... My internet is not this bad. Okay, Fenway. There is the illustration cutout of Fenway Park. This is 2024. I guess that's all he has. 2024. Look at all these. That's a home run. That's a home run. That's a home run. That's a home run. I mean, depending on the trajectory and how high it is, these are going to be his stats if every game was at Boston. 249. 107 strikeouts is a bit high. 24% K rate. That's a little high. It's not bad. His exit velo sucks, but 13 home runs, one triple, 23 doubles. That's the big thing, hitting that wall. I think you would bat well. I think you'd do fine. I think that would be a decent fit. That'd be a decent fit. For sure. So back to what I was saying. Yeah, subscribe and hit the bell because I'm releasing a video tomorrow now since Teoscar decided to finally sign with LA. Talking about Glaber and the Tigers. I think my opinion is going to be a little bit different than most people's. And also I kind of go after those people that shit on Glaber. No reason. There's no reason. Come on. We go in, we dig deep. We dig deep and it's going to go up tomorrow. I promise. So we'll see you there. Thanks, Jack. I appreciate it. Jack's like an OG. He's been here from the very beginning. I've never met him in person, but he's been very supportive. So Jack Powers, dude. Thank you, man. And you've also have a lot of good insight as well. So you actually helped me on these live streams, correcting me. It's over 20 home runs. It said like 28 or something like that. But is it 28? 13. So it says 13 home runs, which means that the elevation of those balls were not so much because doubles was 23, but also 63 base hits, which means that they were line drives, hit the wall most likely, and then came back too fast for him to get around the bases. That is kind of what it sounds like. Sounds like Spencer Torkelson, because of that Gleyber Torres signing, is possibly on the trading block. I know Mariner outlets and reportings are now talking about him as a possibility. I would much rather have Casas and Yoshida than Torkelson. I will come out and say that very bluntly. I do not trust Torkelson as of right now, and I think it's best for his development to be playing in Detroit. Much hitter friendly. He needs to have a spot where he can work stuff out, hit home runs, be powerful. Hell, Boston should look at Torkelson if they were to move Casas. Maybe a three-way trade there. Maybe. Yoshida and Casas to Seattle. Seattle sends whatever to Detroit because they want cheap guys. Maybe they are interested in prospects just because they have so many infielders and they just want something for the future because they're a very cheap team. And then Boston gets like Torkelson plus, plus, plus. Like there's a ton of infielders. I don't know. They most likely want a right-handed bat besides Torkelson. I don't know how that would work out. That's a possibility. This is the top of my head. So I don't know. But yeah, we'll see. Good night, Jack. Thank you for coming in, bud. I appreciate it. Got to answer the boss. It's the way it is. If you guys are in here right now, comment down. Comment in the chat. Talk to me. What's your guys' thoughts on this whole Teo deal? Are you surprised that it took this long? Because I'm surprised it took this long. It just feels like I know it wasn't Teo dragging his feet. They could have offered him 3 years, 50. I'm pretty sure someone would have took that. Or he would have took that. I'm pretty sure. Just for LA. Just because of this team. That's how I feel. It's just an insane team. I don't know how else to put it. Look at that lineup. This is all projected too. I mean, where do you need an upgrade? Second base? Do you really need an upgrade at second base? 251 average. Yeah, he's only slugging 383. But he's your second baseman. If you guys right now subscribe, watch the video tomorrow. As far as Gleyber Torres signing, I'll explain a little bit more specifically on why guys like Gavin Lux are actually the best you can get right now. There's no reason to replace him. And who are you going to replace him with? Tell me a second baseman that's better than Gavin Lux right now. Throw it in the chat. Please. Perfectly okay with that. I'm talking offensive and defensive. Who's better than him? Easy thought, Ketel Marte. That's fine. Tell me one that's available that's not a franchise face. Ha-Sung Kim or Hi-Sung Kim? Which one do you mean? Because after his injury, I would trust Gavin Lux over Ha-Sung Kim. Ha-Sung Kim is flexible. You know he can hit because he played in a very pitcher-friendly stadium with Petco Park. But is it worth going through the trouble of signing him just to find somebody to take Gavin Lux in a trade? I guess if your idea is adding prospects, but how many prospects are you going to get with Gavin Lux? Probably not that many. Do you need him? Is it worth the headache? He has two more options left. I don't know. Maybe you can sign Hassan Kim, but do you really want to? He just had shoulder surgery. He had an injury. Is he going to be the same? Is he going to have as much power? Is he going to be able to drive through that ball? Is he going to be able to hit it out just like he was before? Very good player. I don't see why people wouldn't want him. But that's your weak spot? Lux at this point? Maybe Conforto, but you just got him. Like, you're fine. If he doesn't work out, you have Pajes. Outman, not a lot of value there. Really bad season. You got to play him this next season, and he's got to have a comeback. He's the biggest letdown of the Dodgers team, I think. I can't think of anybody else that's disappointing on the Dodgers. So, Alex Freeland, why bother? But why? You know what I mean? Like, why roll the dice on anybody? Look at the team you have. Look at it. Tell me. We all knew who's coming back. Bobby Miller. Yeah, he could be on the move. He could be. He didn't have a good year, though. It's, again, like, if you want top prospects, because there's no reason to trade for anybody else. You know what I mean? If you're going to trade for Bobby Miller, you're going to trade for prospects. You don't need another rotation arm. You really don't. You have plenty. You have plenty in the arsenal. So trading Bobby Miller would get you prospects, but how many prospects are you going to get given he was battling that injury bug a little bit, did not perform well at the very end of the season? That's what most people are remembering, because playoffs started to get into. He's just not going to give you a big return. When you're trying to get prospects, you're selling off players who had a great year with that expectation that their value is going to be the highest, so you can bring in the best possible players that are going to fill in the shoes of these players that are going to have contracts ending in 3 or 4 years. That's not counting Betts or Otani or Yamamoto or Snell. Now Edmund. I mean, going to go out and get a 2027, 2028 predicted ETA catcher. Maybe third baseman. Muncy's getting up there. He's 34. Maybe. But is Bobby going to get you the top guys? Probably not. Yeah, pitching is hard. But the Dodgers farm system for pitching is pretty damn stacked. I would not be worried about that. Yeah. If you want to fix Miller, I would say you need to send him to a team like the Rays or the Mariners, because that's all they pay attention to is just developing pitching. Those two teams specifically, or the Nationals. What's up with Gavin Williams? No, sorry. Not Gavin Williams. That's the Guardians. Trevor Williams. That would be a big ad. Someone needs to get him as far as starting pitcher. I don't know why he's been sitting on his ass. That dude should be signed already. He is good. Dodgers don't need him. There's just no reason whatsoever. So, I don't know. I feel like the Dodgers are not done, but I also don't think that they have any necessary trades, necessary signings that they need to go out with. If they were to actually sign Roky Sasaki, I believe Bob Nightingale made a post, because he gets on his knees for the Dodgers, it seems, or he was being sarcastic, one of the two. But he's like, oh, the only thing you need now is a Roky Sasaki signing for the Dodgers. Yeah. It's like, really? Like, just shut up, okay? Because Otani, May, Gonsolin, Glasnow, Yamamoto, Snell. What the hell do you need another guy? You can do a 7-man rotation? Okay. New 7-man rotation. With a long reliever, Michael Grove, down here. And then when these guys come back, let's see, when are they coming back? You got Sheehan, will probably be back in May. And Ryan probably won't be back till September. I don't know how bad the shoulder surgery is for Gavin, but still, Gavin could be back in May as well, May or June, maybe All-Star break. What's the point? Seven-man rotation? Are we really doing that? I don't see a reason. And if you're talking like small media market, this is the exact opposite of that. This is the number one or number two. If you're talking media market teams, if he worries about his mental health because of media, because of the amount of people focused on him, this is not the place to be. If that's even true, or if it's just to get other teams out there begging for him because it's all going to cost the same amount of money. I really don't know. I really, really don't know. I would like to see Roki go to Seattle, because they could really use another rotation arm to just take the pressure off their guys, because there's no offense there. But the Padres could be another viable, because they really do need pitching. Roki could go to the Padres because they really need it, and Darvish is there. But at the same time, if Roki's like, hey, I eventually would like, once I make an adjustment, to go to L.A., being the rival team is not the ideal route to go. You don't sign with the rivals to later then go to the team you actually want to play for. That's just my common sense on that one. Doesn't mean I'm right. Doesn't mean I'm right. Tanner Scott, why? Why do you need him? Michael Kopech, you have Trannan, you have who else? You have Vesia, you have Phillips, you have Brazier, you have Henriquez. Why? You just don't need it. Even in their AAA, who do they have in their AAA? I want to take a look at this. Give me 1 second. Hold on. What we got? Triple A. Any names I recognize? Harris. Jack Little. Subletti. Matt Sawyer. Another one. I think he's like a second round pick. Is he a second round pick? He's a second round pick. I know he's 25, but maybe. These are all AAA guys too. Like, man, I don't see where they're upgrading the Dodgers specifically. It just makes zero sense why they would need to add or just spend more money, unless they're trying to cut budget because they're like, look how good we are. We don't need to be paying these players to sit on the bench. But I don't even think that's their mindset at this point. Nando. Yeah. Padres are going broke and trying to trade away big players. It's true. The whole Seidler estate thing, the loans they took out for the players. It's a freaking mess. It sucks. Cause I don't think he's going anywhere, but he could, if they're desperate. I don't know how bad the situation is. It doesn't sound good though. Do you think Roki takes that into consideration? Probably not. Probably not. Baseball's a very selfish sport. It really is. Like, you're there to perform your best, because if you perform your best, you are helping the team. It's not like you got to go out of your way to make other players look good or do better, do a certain thing to enable them to do their job. It's an individual sport. You as the individual are performing, and if you're performing well, then you're benefiting the team. Unlike football, I don't know, soccer or basketball, like, you're not putting up blocks for someone to go in and do a layup. It's just a, you know what I mean? It's very singular. Roky just needs a place where he can pitch really well, which is San Diego. I mean, great ballpark to pitch in. Y'all saw that with Snell. You saw that with Cease. You saw that with Darvish. You saw that with Musgrove. Everybody's really good in San Diego as far as pitching. So good venue, beautiful place to live. I've been to plenty Petco games. All right, that Padres are my number two. But if you're, I guess if your numbers are going to be bad, your numbers won't be bad though. If your ERA is low, your strikeouts are high, you're throwing hard, you're doing well, you have the support of your rotation, you don't have to pitch 100 pitches per game, you have a deep enough rotation. That's something I think the Padres are lacking in, considering they're looking at giving up Cease in a trade. That's like a rumor mill. Might be specifically because of the money, and Musgrove's out for the season. Like they don't have really a lot of depth in the pitching level anymore. And that might shy him away because they can't give him six-man rotation. They can't give him depth and backup. They might have to rely on him. Seattle has the depth, has the bullpen. Don't have the bats, so don't expect the wins, but your numbers will be great, most likely. But he also needs to adjust to how the ball feels, because this is a 2025 year MLB ball, which the stitching is significantly recessed compared to the MPB. So that grip is going to get tighter, more strain on the tendons. We'll see how he manages that. And he might want to choose a team that is heavily knowledgeable in the pitching development side of things and also rehabilitation and injury prevention. Seattle has that. Nationals have that. Phillies have that. But he said, screw you, I'm not going to Philly. I saw how insane that fan base is, and I can't handle that with my mental health. The thing that I hate about Washington State and Seattle as a general is how soft everybody is. That's what I hate about my own city. It's so annoying that everybody cries about everything. Perfect fit, because it sounds like Roky cries a lot. Mental health, and I understand it's rough. You got into this for a reason. You're a superstar. Don't be so good. Don't be good if you can't handle the emotional stress of people asking questions or talking about you. Come on to Seattle. Everybody's soft. Kind of funny that the White Sox got a meeting with Roky, not the Phillies. The Phillies are rough. That's exactly what I'm saying, though. Phillies are rough. That fan base, look what they did with Trey Turner. Like, they finally rallied together to actually be nice to him and, like, cheer him on, and they start performing. But they were booing him when he came up to the plate because he wasn't performing. They don't give a shit. They will fight anybody for no reason. You put too much jelly on your peanut butter and jelly sandwich, they'll stab you. Like, Philly's rough. Not even baseball related. Look at when the Eagles won. They, like, destroyed their own city. This is a different kind of people over there. I understand why he wouldn't want to play there. Same time, if he's doing good, it's probably going to be the best backing he's ever going to get. Them, Yankee fans, Dodger fans as well, pretty good backing. But if you're not doing good, it's going to be rough. Yeah, the Dodgers said their main focus was Sasaki, but so did every other team. Mariners said the Mariners, who don't say anything, said Roky Sasaki is our main focus. And what do you know? You say Dodgers said it was the main focus, but yet the Dodgers are working on all these other deals. Teoscar signed, Edmonds extended, Blake Snell signed. They've been doing a lot of work elsewhere. Mariners haven't done shit. And it's pissing me off and everybody else in the fan base. They hate it. But that also could mean that they are literally solely focused on Sasaki. And ironically, they're the only team out of the mix, out of everything that's been anything that's been released that has not had a meeting with him. Makes zero sense to me. I think there's more going on there, but the big name teams, the big market teams are the ones that are leaking this information of having these meetings. So a lot of confusion, a lot of gaslighting. I feel like there's just a lot of smoke. There's no fire yet, but hey, I think it's what, January 3rd, we find out about Hyesung Kim, and January 15th, we'll find out about Roky Sasaki. Who knows? If he goes to the Dodgers, good for them. They got everybody. They didn't have to pay anything for this guy, but it makes zero sense. I don't know why you're adding him. You're just kind of pouring it on, just making it so that there's no competition. So it's a monopoly. And we all know how we love monopolies, right? For some reason. So, anywho, Teoscar Hernandez is a Dodger again and for the next 3 years. Possibly could get traded later on, but if he performed like he did last year for the next 3 years, he's not going anywhere. Maybe he can boost up his defense. Not surprised by this, but, you know, it took way too long. Bottom line. So hope you guys enjoyed the video. Thank you for joining me today. Remember, I'm going to try and attempt to put out a video every single day for this week, which means that in the comment section, you can leave comments, talk to me. We'll go back and forth. Every time you do that, enters you for a giveaway. I don't have a giveaway item just yet. I am looking at like a rainbow system of Francisco Lindor cards. I have a Sapia, I have a Prism, I have a Pink, and I have a Refractor Topps Chrome 2024. Francisco Lindor. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's what I will do. Or a Paul Skene's rookie card, because I also have that. So if you're not yet subscribed, that's a requirement. Subscribe now. The video is going to drop tomorrow about Gleyber Torres. You can leave your comments. We can talk about it. And it enters you into the giveaway. And if you're saying that I'm trying to buy subscribers, maybe. I love you all. Have a great night. It's an awesome day for baseball, and I will see you on the next one. Later. Yeah.